So before we turn to God's Word, I just want to pray. Ask you to join with me in prayer, seeking God's help. And just unite our hearts now in prayer. I'll pray first in English and Japanese afterwards. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to come like this, gather together in the name of Jesus to worship you in spirit and in truth. And now as we turn to your word, we thank you that you have already come into this worship service with your presence, according to your promise, from the beginning. And now we ask that by your Spirit of truth, you will teach each one of us. And help us to understand your will for our lives, that we may walk in the light of your word and enjoy the promised fellowship that comes from walking in the light, as you are in the light, and the cleansing of the precious blood of Jesus from all sin. So help us now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. 天の父 なる 神様, 尊い皆 を 崇めて 感謝いたします。 既に 御臨在 を 持って この 礼拝 の 中に 共にいて くださって、 導いてくださっていることを感謝いたします。どうか今から共に御言葉を学ぼうとしていますが、真理の御霊によって一人一人の上に臨んでくださって、御言葉を正しく理解して、特に個人的に自分にあなたが何を語っているかを理解することができますように、日々の生活の中で御言葉の光の中を歩むことによって、あなたとの交わりと主イエスキリストの血潮によるすべての罪からの清め体験することができますように、どうぞこのひとときをすべて守って導いてください。主イエスキリストの皆によってお祈りいたします。アーメン。Today's Bible reading, we're continuing in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and reading today from verse 11 to verse 18. Then we skip a little bit just for the sake of time. Today we have our communion service as well. Try to keep the message a little bit shorter, and so we're going to skip a part of the Gospel of John to verse 27 and then read from 27 to verse 31 as well. So starting with John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So let's jump to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Just end the reading there, verse 31 of John's Gospel, chapter 10. Well, we're continuing in the series of seven statements by the Lord Jesus, where he started those statements saying, I am. And he was using the name of God given to Moses in the Old Testament in Exodus 3:14. I am who I am. Jesus taking that name of God purposefully, specifically when he makes these statements. And today we're on the fourth one. First one was, I am the bread of life. Second one was, I am the light of the world. And last week, the third one was, I am the door. Well, you may remember, if you were here last week, that when Jesus said, I am the door, in this same Gospel of John, chapter 10, the parable he started with, he said both at the same time, I am the door, and I am the shepherd. So he is both the door of the sheep, and he is at the same time the shepherd of the sheep. Today we will focus mainly on his role as the good shepherd. There will be just a little overlap with last week, but I'll try not to repeat too much of what I said last week. But he is the door and the shepherd, and both these roles overlap. The first thing in today's message, as we focus on the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus most emphasizes above all the proof, the evidence that he is the good shepherd, is that he lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 11, he said, this is the first verse we read this morning, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And now the Lord Jesus stating this as proof that he is the good shepherd, and he repeats it three times just in this short passage of scripture that we read. You can see it again in verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Second time he repeated it, and then the third time, verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So, on the cross of Calvary, when the Lord Jesus died of his own choice, willingly, sacrificing his life for us, his believers, those who are his sheep, he was proving, above all contradiction, he is our good shepherd, and at the same time, he is demonstrating the greatest love of all when he laid down his life of his own choice. You know, Jesus had told his disciples, greater love is no man than this. In John 15, verse 13, in that upper room, the night before he was taken, tortured brutally, and killed by execution, public execution, he said to them, greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But the Lord Jesus, they're talking about laying down one's life for a friend, a friend. He went even further, because on the cross he not only showed that love for those who were his friends, he showed it even for those who were his enemies. As you know, on the cross he prayed for those who were killing him. Right in the act of murdering him, with no sign of any repentance, and yet Jesus prayed for them, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And so he showed a love which far surpasses anything we can even comprehend. The Bible says that this love of Christ surpasses all human knowledge. We can't even comprehend how anyone could love, forgive, pray for those who were killing him right at that very time. So Jesus on the cross displayed, demonstrated that love, the greatest love of all, the love of God that surpasses human knowledge. And Romans chapter 5, from verse 8 to 10, tells us that God demonstrated his love for us. That's for you and me. Not only for those who were killing Jesus at the time, but for you and I. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, unrepentant sinners, Christ died for us. And then it specifically makes it more clear, while we were enemies, God reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son. So Jesus here, as the good shepherd, saying, I'm the good shepherd and I can prove it because I lay down my life for the sheep. And he is demonstrating on that cross the greatest love of all, the love of God that loved us in our sin when we were his enemies and forgave us by that death of his Son on the cross of Calvary. You know, I just want to focus a little minute on that statement Jesus said in verse 18, emphasizing, nobody is taking my life from me. I am laying it down myself. my own choice. You know, those people who came to arrest Jesus, when they came and Jesus said to them, "Who are you seeking?" And Jesus came out in front of the other disciples who were with him. And when he said that, they said to him, "We're seeking Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, in our English Bibles, it's translated, "I am He." And in the Japanese, "Sore wa watashi desu." So you yama. What Jesus actually said there in the original is the same word that we have at the beginning of this, "I am the Good Shepherd." He just said, "I am." He used the name of God again on that occasion specifically, and we're told what happened when he said it. Those who came to arrest him, they all fell down. They fell down at the power of his word. So, you know, they couldn't even have arrested him if he did not permit it. He had the power even in those words, just in those words. Peter didn't understand it. He thought he had to protect Jesus. He took out a sword and he cut off an ear of one of the people, servant of the high priest, who came to arrest Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Put your sword away. Put it back in its sheath. Do you not know that I could call more than 12 legions of angels here and there, and they would protect me?" You know, this is Jesus fulfilling what he said here in John chapter 10, verse 18. "No man takes it from me. I lay down my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." And so, Jesus saying, "I am the Good Shepherd, who gives his life for the sheep," first and foremost, he's emphasizing, this is the evidence, the proof, that he is the Good Shepherd. He proved it by going to the cross. Our point in this statement is that he also said, the Good Shepherd cares for the sheep and never forsakes them. Just look at verses 12 to 14. "A hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." But then, in verse 13, Jesus says, "The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep." And he's saying very clearly, "I'm the Good Shepherd who cares. He never forsakes." And you know that is a promise repeated throughout the scriptures, that "I will never leave you nor forsake you," not for anything. And here, the Lord Jesus teaches us that he cares enough that he will never, ever, for any reason, leave us. And it's very important for us as believers to understand this, because we all go through times when we wonder and we feel and we think, he doesn't care. he cared, why am I going through this suffering? Why am I going through this hardship? Why doesn't he answer my prayer more quickly? And, you know, one of the biggest lies of Satan, he will repeatedly, at every opportunity, he will whisper in your ear, God doesn't care. He doesn't care about how you feel. He doesn't care about the pain you're suffering, or the hardship you're going through. And that's why we need to understand, and we need to remember these words of Jesus saying very clearly, I care enough to go to that cross and lay down my life and suffer for you. So when it seems that he doesn't, you know, those closest to him, like Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, experienced this. Lazarus was sick and dying, and they sent a message to Jesus. Jesus didn't rush to their comfort and to heal Lazarus as they had hoped and expected and as they were praying. And you can be sure Satan was whispering in their ear, he doesn't care. But in his time and in his way, he showed that he had a much greater plan and much greater blessing that he was preparing for them. And that was the reason he allowed them to go through that pain and struggle and suffering. And it's the same for you and for me. When he allows you to suffer, to go through hard times, it's because he's preparing even greater blessing. He does not allow us to suffer anything that he will later more than make up for with his blessing, even richer blessing. The greater the suffering, the greater the blessing that is to follow. And we have to remind ourselves of these things when we're going through the hard times. Job is a perfect example. And James in the New Testament quotes, consider Job, the end, how God blessed him much more than before because of how he had allowed him to suffer. It's the same for us as followers of the Lord Jesus. Now here, when Jesus said, I care, and I will never leave you, not for anything. I won't run away when the enemy comes. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you know, he says here, as we covered last week, I'll be with you as your protector and your provider, even in the hard, difficult times. Last week we looked at that in verse 4 of John chapter 10. You know, he said he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. And we were comparing it to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 13, where God went before his people in the pillar of cloud by daytime, the pillar of fire by night. And Jesus here saying in the early part of this chapter, in the parable, he calls his own sheep out by name, and he leads them out. And he goes before. And that's what we looked at last week, as the door of protection and the door of provision. And I just want to go, I'll add one little more thing onto that point. And it is that he leads us in victory. Not just providing and protecting that we somehow get through by the skin of our teeth. I'm sure there are times when you feel, I know there are times when I feel, that I'm just getting through by the skin of my teeth, you know, just as you say in Japanese, giri giri de nantoka naru yona. You know, just getting through and no more. Just about making it through. But you know, it seems that way to us, but not in his eyes. Psalm 23 is what he promises to fulfill as the good shepherd for every one of his sheep. That's why Psalm 23 is the most loved psalm all throughout the world, among all believers of all countries and nationalities. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just 6 verses, and I recommend that if you can, you remember Psalm 23. You don't have time to read it today, but he says in that, in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, promises he will fulfill every single thing that is in Psalm 23 for every believer. I can share just a very short personal testimony how a good number of years ago, going through difficult times when people took it upon themselves to make themselves my enemies because of my past, because of my history, my record, involvement in political conflict in my past before I was a Christian. Things like that, people decide to make themselves your enemy. They don't understand. They don't know what they're doing. Just like those people were telling Jesus, and he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. They don't realize that Satan, who is our real enemy, not people, the evil one, who goes like around like a lion, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is our real enemy. But sometimes he works through people. And at that time, I remember, God very personally spoke to me through verse 5 of Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, what is he saying? No, I'm not. You're just going to, you know, get enough just to get by, and you're going to get through it just by the skin of your teeth? No. He said, I'm going to make you more than a conqueror. I'm going to lead you through this in victory. Even in the presence, in the face of your enemies, you will have abundance. Table, cup that's running over, overflowing, abundance. And so, the Lord Jesus as our good shepherd, every one of us who believe in him and receive him to be our Lord and Savior, he fulfills every single word of Psalm 23 for every believer. And so that's why I encourage you to remember, if you can, memorize. And especially when in the hard times, use it against to quench the lies of Satan when he tells you God doesn't care. One of the biggest lies and the most repeated lies that Satan uses. And we need to quench it with the shield of faith in God's promises. And Psalm 23 is full of those precious promises. Finally, just one more point. And the Lord Jesus here, when he says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, he is also telling us that he is our guarantee. He is our eternal security. An eternal guarantee. That's what Psalm 23, the last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Jesus will fulfill that in your life and mine, in every believer's life. He is our eternal guarantee. Now, let's just look 28, go back to our reading, John chapter 10, verse 28, and you cannot have it more clear, more emphatic, more definite than these words which Jesus said. John 10, verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So here, first and foremost, strong words. They will never perish. Strong as you can get, as clear as you can make it. And then the following verse, 29, he explains why. He says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There's two things there, again, very important. Your eternal security, your guarantee of heaven and eternal life does not depend on a decision that you made to receive Jesus as your Lord all by yourself, just some choice of your own, by your own will, your own decision. If it depended on that, you know as well as I do, we would not last probably 2 weeks. We cannot, by ourselves, in our own strength, keep the faith. And the Lord Jesus says here, my Father who has given them to me, telling us again, like he did in chapter 6, when we saw at the bread of life, no one comes to me unless my Father draws him. No one can come to me unless my Father draws him. And all who the Father gives me will come to me, and I will never, ever turn them away, never reject them. So the thing, the point is, it wasn't a decision just by yourself. You would never even have thought of receiving Jesus and following him if it was just left to yourself. The only reason you had those thoughts, you had that desire, and you made that decision, because God the Father has given you to his Son, the Lord Jesus. That is your eternal security and guarantee. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And then he says, I and my Father are one. No one, nothing can snatch them from my Father's hand or from my hand. And this is, you know, a powerful assurance when we understand this, what Jesus is saying. Of course, we have our part to play. The more we follow him and listen to his voice and obey him, the more intimate fellowship we enjoy with him, and more of his blessing we experience. But even if we mess up, we fail, we sin, even in a way that we never imagined that we would, like Peter denying him, oaths and curses, he doesn't give up on us. He says he is on our side. He's saying to you this morning, you have the most powerful ally, the one who is always on your side. And he is always for you, not just with you, always for you. And so, whenever you read this promise in other scriptures, like, you know, Jesus in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, the Lord himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll find it always goes on and says, and connects it to the fact that he is with us to help. He's on our side. Following that promise, it says, therefore, we may boldly say, with full assurance, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Again, let's look at another passage, Romans chapter 8, where the end of that chapter, the most, you know, reassuring, powerful words in all of the Apostle Paul's epistles, at the end of Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And just in case you wonder, the little word if there doesn't mean that maybe God is for us sometimes, sometimes not. No, he's stating the obvious. Following on from God working everything together for good to those who love him. It's following in that context. It's saying God is for us, always. And therefore, who can be against us? But the following verses, again, he goes on. Let's just read from Romans chapter 8. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 37. Again, going back to Psalm 23, verse 5. In the presence of my enemies, you provide for me in abundance, more than victors, more than conquerors. And let's just read the following verses, 38 and 39. The Apostle Paul, it's like he can't find enough words. And he says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if there were more words in human language, the Apostle Paul could have gone on and on. He's almost stuck for words to try to make clear how much he is persuaded. It's so full and overflowing with assurance. And Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd who gives his life, who lays down his life for the sheep. And he said, that should prove to you that I do care and that I will never forsake you and that I am your guarantee, your eternal security. And this is why I just want to finish with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. The Apostle Paul there said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable, indescribable. We can never exhaust the words. Yeah, I mean, we can never find enough words. We will never exhaust giving thanks. We can never give thanks enough. Today in our communion, we're going to do that. We're going to remember our Savior and what he suffered for us with thanksgiving. It's not about condemnation or guilt in any way. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me with thankfulness for what? That I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd who laid down his life for each one of you. And even if it had only been one, he still would have done it. Because he makes it very clear in this passage where he says, I'm a good shepherd, that he cares for each, every individual one. You know, the Old Testament people of God had the presence of God as a group, as a community. Jesus said, I call my sheep by name, and they hear my voice. I know them, they know me. A personal relationship in the new covenant. You know what the promises of the new covenant, which we are going to experience through our communion. I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. And then he says, from the very least of them to the greatest, all of them will know me personally, personal relationship. Old people, Old Testament people of God, and except for a very select few, like Moses and some of the prophets, Abraham and the prophets, etc., a very select few ever had that privilege, a personal relationship, where God spoke to them personally, and they could speak to him personally. And yet in Jesus, in the new covenant, that is what is given to every one of us. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the gift of his Son, the We cannot separate the birth at Bethlehem, the little baby in the manger. We cannot separate that from the cross, because it is man purpose that Jesus was born, and that little stable in the manger was to go to Calvary, to go to the cross. Never separate Christmas from the cross. So today we will remember in communion what he suffered for us with thanksgiving, not with guilt and condemnation. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and go straight into the communion service. And I just should say that if you're a believer, it doesn't matter what church you belong to, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess him as your Lord and Savior publicly. Even if you haven't yet been baptized, if you're confessing Jesus publicly as your Savior and your Lord, you're seeking to live for him, you can participate in the communion service.